I'd like to call your attention this morning to a passage of Scripture in John chapter 17 and verse 17. This is a statement that our Lord Jesus made in His prayer to the Heavenly Father. In verse 17 of John 17, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus is praying to the Heavenly Father that the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, rightly divided, would have a sanctifying effect on all of us. Sanctify them, that is, my children, your children, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? Well, it means to be set apart for a holy use. And Jesus is praying for all of us today and all of God's children through the centuries that would have a Bible, have exposure to the truth. He's praying that the Word of God would help to sanctify us. How many of us here this morning really want to live a sanctified life? That's a soul-searching question. How many of us want to be more like Jesus? Well, I want to tell you, exposure to the Word of God and living the Word of God will help all of us to be more like Jesus as we live out our days on this earth. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now I want to say this morning that I believe the greatest need in the church today is for the Word of God to do its work in our lives. And you know, when I hear a man preaching, to me, the best preaching I ever hear is the preaching that makes me want to live a Christian life. Some preaching is very entertaining, very uplifting, but it doesn't stir you to want to be more like Jesus. But when you hear a sermon and it makes you want to be more like Jesus Christ, that is good preaching. And when you and I read and study the Bible on our own, and it just touches us deep inside, and it convicts us in areas where we have failed, and it inspires us or encourages us to do better, that's wonderful Bible study, isn't it? Which side of courage are you on this morning? Encourage or discourage? I asked somebody that the other day and they said, well, it depends on the circumstances. But I remember when the Bible says that King David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was facing extremely difficult situation. And no one around him to encourage him. So he just encouraged himself in the Lord. And beloved, as you and I read and study and internalize the Word of God and take it personal, it will encourage us. It will help to sanctify us. And people will take note. You remember in the Acts of the Apostles, it was said that people took notice that the apostles had been with Jesus. That was a positive thing. I want to share this morning. You know, when what you're saying is going on the World Wide Web, you want to be careful. But I want to share this with you all this morning. Brother Alan Chastain came by Monday to bring Franklin some pastries from the donut shop. And he came in and we visited a while, and I said, Brother Allen, when did you get interested in the old Baptist? He said, I can tell you, Brother Sam, it was my mother-in-law, Sister Dorothy. He said she was living such a Christian life, it just radiated. And I wanted what she had. I love that thought, don't you all? Are we living the kind of life that when people see us, they want what we've got? The peace, the love, the joy of walking with Jesus Christ. So, the Word of God, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Bondage, false doctrine doesn't have that effect on us. But the Word of the Lord, in truth, has an incredible positive effect on God's children. And I want to tell you, this book is not given to us for entertainment. It's not given to us to just for decoration, lay it on the coffee table. The Word of God is given to us to read and to study. You remember Jesus said this. The devil was tempting him in the wilderness and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. Jesus had been doing without food for 40 days. He was a hungered. And Satan coming to him, tempting him, says, why don't you turn these stones into bread if you're the Son of God? And Jesus quoted from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and said, as it is what? Written. Jesus himself lived by this book. And if he lived by it, don't you think it would do for you and me to live by it? Jesus says to the tempter and to the temptation, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now we need bread to live, to sustain these natural bodies. But listen, Jesus says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And did you know God's Bible is his word that proceeded out of his mouth? In the morning of time, Satan, the great tempter, comes to Eve and tempts her to partake of the forbidden fruit. And sadly, she chose the forbidden fruit over the Word of God. God had spoken to Adam and Eve, and the Word of the Lord had come out of his mouth. And Eve and the whole world would be a lot better off if she had lived by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God rather than the forbidden fruit. And I want to say to all of us this morning, beloved, it is dangerous when you and I live our lives contrary to the Word of God. The Bible tells us how to love our wives, love our husbands. The Word of God tells us how to train up our children. The Word of God tells us how to make a living, how to work. The Word of God tells us how to honor those who rule over us. The Word of God tells us how to be a good neighbor. I want to tell you, the Word of God is a thorough furnisher unto every good work. Isn't that what Paul said? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. How many of y'all want a profit? If you've got a business, I suspect you want it to show a profit. We all like profit. Well, Paul said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. For what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, truly furnished unto all good works. You say, I just don't know what to do in this situation. Well, maybe we need to spend more time in the Word of God so that we know how to face life's problems and trials and difficulties in this world. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. How in the world can you do that? How can anybody love their enemies? Well, Jesus did, and I want to turn with you just now to Luke chapter 4. And I want to read in verse 16. The Bible says, "And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up as a child." That's where Mary and Joseph took him when he was a baby, and he grew up there. Now, as a minister and a priest, he's going back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, it was his custom to go to the synagogue. And the synagogue was a house of worship. And if Jesus' custom was to go, don't you think you and I ought to have the same custom? Going to the house of worship is following in the footsteps of Jesus. Now, let's notice. He stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You know how Jesus could live the perfect life? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he was anointed. Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, you know you and I need it. And the Holy Spirit will empower us to live the kind of life that Jesus lived. You can't do it in the flesh. Our flesh is pitiful, it's sinful, it's depraved. But when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, it enables us to live like Jesus lived. Not sinless, of course, but more like Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now let's look at the life of Jesus during the 3.5 years that he was ministering on this earth. Notice, as he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, his heart was reaching out to the poor. He says he's anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus wasn't trying to get rich through the ministry. He was preaching the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And he's not just talking about the poor financially. He's talking about people that recognize their sinful condition. That we don't have any good works of our own. That we are poor sinners, bankrupt sinners. And Jesus came to pay the sin debt that we couldn't pay. And he proclaimed the good news to the poor. And he sent me to heal who? The brokenhearted. I want to tell you, when you and I are following in the footsteps of Jesus, when we're being sanctified by the Word of God, we don't overlook the brokenhearted. We feel their pain. Isn't it a wonderful blessing when you, as an individual, can feel the pain, the suffering of other people? Tuesday at the funeral, I tell you, I was sitting here and I could see Brother Johnny Jr. and his children, and the children were weeping, just pouring their heart out. And I felt deeply their pain. I mean, deep down in my gut, I just started crying, especially when they sung that song, Vince Gill's song, Go Rest High on That Mountain. I tell you, I just wept openly. And I remember when my father died at the age of 18, when I was 18, I felt the pain of those children. When they sung that song, Go Rest High, it reminded me of my nephew, Lamar. Some of you knew him. Lamar died at a young age from lung cancer. And I went to see him not long before he died. And he was going to be buried in the woods. And I said, Lamar, why don't you choose a burial plot here at Cool Springs? He said, Uncle Sam, I don't deserve to be buried in the church cemetery. I'm a sinner. I tell you, I loved Lamar. I went to see him right before he passed away, and I've never in my life been around anybody near dead that had the sweetest smile that he had. The Holy Spirit was with him and comforting him. And I tell you, when we hear about people sick and dying, we ought to be able to feel their pain. Would y'all agree with that this morning? Brother Michael Goins wrote an article about the suffering down in Florida from the hurricane. Now that's something I can't relate to. Never been in a hurricane. I've never seen all that devastation. But I want to tell you, you and I as Christian people ought to feel their loss and their pain. Would y'all agree with that this morning? Or do we want to be hard-hearted? No, our Savior came to minister to the brokenhearted. And as the Word of God begins to work in us, it produces a sympathy that we feel for other people around us. You know, when it's us, I mean, you know the old saying, if an operation is on you, it's minor surgery. If it's on me, it's major surgery. That's the way a lot of us feel. But I want to tell you, if we genuinely care for other people, we feel their pain. And my Savior came to this earth. And let me tell you, He was touched. And He's still touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Look at Him in the Gospels. Just look at Him a moment this morning. When the children came to him, you know what he did? He picked them up and he held them. And his disciples were upset about that. And Jesus said, suffer the children, the little ones, to come to me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, one of the greatest mistakes Primitive Baptists ever made was when we tried to oppose what the Armenians were doing by getting the little children to join, you know, whatever it took, that, you know, they wanted to get them in the church, scare them to death. You know, if you don't join and you die, you may go to hell. Well, that was wrong. But our people, to fight that, went to the other extreme. When I joined this church at 15, a man came to my father's home and said to me, you shouldn't have joined the church. You're too young to join. And he said, you need to be old enough to get married or get your driver's license before you join the church. Now I knew he was wrong about the driver's license because they didn't have driver's license in the Bible. But that was cruel, and that man divided a church right here in Middle Georgia because a young girl came. Elder Daugherty was pastoring that church at that time. I want to tell you, that's darkness. That's ignorance. That's cruelty. Listen, we don't want children to join before they have a burden to join. But when they have that burden, that's time to join. Would y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Jesus says, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. And I want to tell you, the little children are just as valuable in this church as the oldest member here. Are y'all with me this morning? Jesus, He held them in His arms. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He created the universe. And yet, He would take a little child in His arms and hold it. Do y'all want to be like that? Come on now. Do y'all want to love the little children? Well, look at Jesus Christ. A woman with an issue of blood comes. She spent every dime she's got on doctors, and she's no better off. And now she comes to where Jesus is, and there's a big crowd around Him. And she says, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. And she did. And Jesus stopped and asked the question, who touched me? And the disciples looked at Him like, what do you mean? There's all these people, many people are touching you. You're asking who touched you? Somebody touched Him in a special way, and He stopped. Did you know the whole army, Roman Empire couldn't have stopped Jesus if He didn't want to stop? But this woman, this broken woman, who'd had this issue of blood for years, and nobody could help her, Jesus was touched. Virtue went out of Him. That's the kind of Savior you and I worship today. Do y'all want to go to a doctor that's hard-hearted and doesn't care if you live or die? He's just interested in his paycheck. I don't want to go to a doctor like that. I met Dr. Robinson this week. I took Franklin back to get the staples out. He's 78 years old. Are y'all listening? You'd think that man ought to be retired and living on the coast in a beach house. No. You know why he's still practicing? Not to make money. I'm sure he makes good money, but he cares. I want to tell you, he showed so much compassion for Franklin when he came into that room. And I thought, if I had to have surgery, I'd want Dr. Robinson. I want a doctor that cares. What about y'all? Nobody needs to go into the medical profession if all you're interested in is the money. Because I'm going to tell you, being a nurse, being a doctor, that's hard. In Birmingham at Vestavia, we had a young man who went to college and got his medical degree as a doctor. And he wanted to work in ERs. Now you talk about a hard job. I can't even watch ER on TV. I don't like looking at blood. But he's in there every day, every night, helping the wounded, the people that have been shot. I tell you, and he's got as big a heart as anybody I know. That's being sanctified by the Word of God. And I remember Jesus showing compassion on a tax collector. How many of y'all love tax collectors? How many of y'all love paying taxes? The publicans in Jesus' day were despised because they were Jews, but they had sided with the Roman Empire who had conquered Israel. And if you were a Jew and you could collect taxes from the Jewish people, the Romans would give you a cut. And the more you collected, the more you got. People despised the publicans. They looked down on them. I can understand that. But I remember Zacchaeus. Y'all remember him? He climbed a tree one day to see Jesus. He was a short man. He climbed up a tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus stopped and looked at him. Said, come down. I'm going to your house today. When Jesus came to the tomb where Lazarus was, the Bible says Jesus, I hope y'all can finish that statement. Jesus wept. I don't know of a more descriptive verse in all the Bible concerning our Savior than that. Whether it was just a tear or two, or whether he was sobbing abdominally, I don't know, but I know he cares. We are living in a broken, messed up world. And God's children need to care. They need to understand. They need to get it. The blind beggar, whoever it was, when they cried out to Jesus, let me tell you, he was there. Now, when Jesus is teaching in Matthew 25 about the final judgment, he said to those on his right, he said, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because, you know, you visited the sick, those that were in prison, you fed the hungry, and inasmuch as you have done it to the greatest of these, is that what he said? No, the least of these, my brethren. If you and I aren't interested in the least, we're not following Jesus. And doesn't matter how big up the scale you and I might get in life, we ought to be able to relate to people. I remember when Brother Guy Hunt was here one time, while he was governor of Alabama, had his bodyguards, and you know, he's living in the governor's mansion in Montgomery. We had a downpour that night, and Brother Guy got him an umbrella, and he was going out there, and he couldn't have been any wetter if he'd have been in the lake, helping people to get into the dining room without getting wet. Now that just tells you what kind of man he was. That was Brother Guy. He wasn't doing that for show. Because I've been in his home many times. That was his heart. He had a daughter. Afflicted child. I loved her. I don't know if he ever brought her over here. I don't know if any of y'all ever saw her or not. But she couldn't sing, but she loved to try to sing. I'd go to the home, or when she'd see me, she said, Sham? He loved it when she called me Sham instead of Sam. Are you happy, Sham? Are you happy, Sham? And I tell you, Brother Guy and Sister Helen waited on her. No afflicted child has ever known more love than she got in that home. When you see the Down syndrome children, and we had one in this church. I believe he was loved, don't y'all? Hoyt? he would rise to the occasion. Y'all remember that? He directed the people around to shake hands. Hoyt was loved and highly esteemed in this church. Let me tell you, beloved, if we as a church are not being sanctified by the word of the Lord, we need to be. And when Jesus was on that cross, I want you to spend a moment with me just looking at him. When he's up there on that cross, he was suffering excruciating pain. You know, a lot of times people say, I've got an excruciating headache. Well, really, we probably misuse that word because excruciation refers to crucifixion. The pain you would experience if you're being crucified. I doubt if any of us have ever had excruciating pain. I don't want to minimize people's pain. But what our Savior was experiencing on that cross was excruciating. And yet, He took the time to take care of His mama. He's going to heaven. His mother Mary. Apparently Joseph is dead. She's a widow. She's on up in years. She has nobody now to take care of her. And Jesus appoints John to take care of his mama. Does that touch y'all's heart? He's about to go back to heaven, but he wants his mama to be cared for. See, she's had a hard life. You say, Brother Sam, no, not Mary. She was the mother of the Christ child. Yes, she was. But you have no idea. You and I will have to wait till we get to heaven to know what that woman went through on earth. The old prophet Simeon said, a sword will pierce your heart. Can you imagine as a mama standing there looking up at her son on that cross? Can you imagine what she felt like when he was being mocked and made fun of and they laughed at him and said he's born of fornication because see, he was conceived out of wedlock through the Holy Spirit and his enemies made fun of his birth and said he's born of fornication. Wicked people, drunkards making up dirty songs about Jesus down in the taverns. And Mary had to see all of that. Yes, sir, she was a highly favored woman among women, but I want to tell you, the burden she carried, and Jesus is going to see to it, she's cared for. That's the kind of Savior. Listen, if you love your mama and your daddy, you're being more like Jesus. And his brother James tells us, you know what pure and undefiled religion is? To visit the kings and the queens. No, to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. And keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's true and undefiled religion. May the Word of God sanctify us. So that we'll be more like Jesus. That's what this world needs, isn't it? And I want to just say in closing, I was touched by the news last night, seeing all those people down in Florida helping to rescue those that were trapped by the floodwaters. And they weren't asking, are you Democrat? Are you Republican? Are you white? Are you black? No, sir. They were there to help rescue those that were in need. That ought to be our heart. Would you all agree with that?
Amen.
Now listen, Jesus could get upset. When they were in the money changers in the temple were robbing the people, Jesus took a whip and drove them out of the temple and turned over the tables, the money tables. You and I, there's things in this world you and I ought to get angry about. Would y'all agree? May God give us wisdom to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Thank you for your good attention this morning.